The following is the class given by His Holiness Bhaktivikasa Swami, recorded on 25th January 1986 in Bombay, India.
Om Gyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Srila Narada Muni is giving instructions for civilized human beings, the Varnashram system, which aims at the perfection of yad-gat-vāna-nivartaṁ-ve-tad-bhāva-paramānamā, leaving this miserable material world and going back home, back to Godhead, never to return. Dharma, artha, kāma, and moksha, these are the four areas which the Varnashram system engages its followers in. Dharma means, dharma of course, this word is used in many different ways, but in the system of Varnashram, when it's considered along with artha, kama, and moksha, it means following the rules and regulations of Varnashram dharma for gradual elevation. And artha, how to get money, kama, how to enjoy the senses in a regulated way. When we talk about kam in terms of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, these are the four purusharthas, the four goals of human life, according to those who are following the Varnashram system. So kama doesn't mean simply enjoy the senses unlimitedly, but according to rules and regulations. And then moksha. This means giving up dharma, artha, and kama. Giving up dharma means no one should give up dharma. But karma kandiya activities, which are meant for producing artha and kama, money and sense gratification. So the sannyasi especially is interested in moksha. And the whole Varnashram system is to lead one towards moksha, liberation from this material world. Therefore, acceptance of sannyas is compulsory for those who want to attain the ultimate goal of life, which is liberation from this material world. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially has revealed that prema pumarto mahan, even above getting liberation from this material world, more important is to attain love of Krishna. Jarage trinatulla chari purushartha. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's guru, Ishvara Puri, explained to him that love of God is so important that compared to that, there's the four purusharthas, the four goals of life, they are trinatulya, just as significant as a piece of straw. Anyway, the Varnashram system, sometimes devotees become confused when they read Prabhupada's books, because sometimes we'll say that the Varnashram system, that is essential in human society. And in other places we see that it's not very important. All these things should be given up. Varnashram, that's not so important. So is it important or isn't it important? In one place you'll see, everyone should follow the Varnashram system. In another place you'll find, Prabhupada is writing, that activities in Varnashram, they're all on a lower level. So what is the point? The point is that we're supposed to come to the level love of Krishna. Not naham vipra na chanalapati naapi vaisho na shudra. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. And not yamana, kshatriya, vaisho, shudra, brahmachari, none of these things. And the eternal servant of Krishna. So that is the goal to come to. But it is necessary for almost everybody to accept regulated activities within the Varnashram system to bring them to such a stage where they can come to this point of realizing that everything in this material world, which is conceived of without a relationship to Krishna, if anyone conceives of anything without a relationship to Krishna, it is all useless. Ritayatam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani, as Lord Krishna says. Anything conceived of without relationship to me is all nonsense, useless. So anyway, the Varnashram system is there, and Narada Muni, whose goal is to bring people to pure Krishna consciousness, he is teaching how to live the life of a perfect human being And for this purpose, he is recommending, accept sannyas. Just like we see so many different cases. Narad Muni was preaching to the Haryashvas, Shavalashvas, the sons of Daksha. Such nice boys. Nice, well-behaved boys. Very clean, austere, all good qualities. Being trained up how to live a nice materialistic life. Be very pious, good Hindus, and in this way increase the population. Narad Muni said, these are very nice young boys. Let me make them all into sannyasis. Don't go to the dark hole of family life. There is a hole. He says, when you enter into that, you never come out again. So what is that hole? Griham Andhabhupam, the blind well of material life. Prahlad Maharaj, he was saying, talking about the blind well of family life. And where did Prahlad Maharaj get this information from? From Narad Muni. So he's recommending, don't enter into that. Because if you enter in, it's very difficult to come out. Mostly we see whoever goes in, they get stuck. It's very difficult to come out again. Because one becomes bound up by that. Ridhiya Granti. Pungsastriya Mitrani Bhavanetam Tayoraho Ridhiya Granti Mahu. When this attraction is there, male and female. That is the basic principle. That whole material world is running on this only. Man is attracted to a woman is attracted to a man. This, I was just a few days ago at our center in Balabhidyanagar, which is a college town in Gujarat. So there you can see, you're just sitting inside the room chanting Hare Krishna. You just look out the window and see all the boys and girls suffering because they're attracted to each other. They're all walking around looking at each other and suffering because of this. They think, what a great pleasure. What a great pleasure it is to see these beautiful young women. But it's not pleasure, it's dushpurena analeya cha. It's simply causing a fire to burn in the heart, fire of lust. And they think this is pleasure. But actually it's only frustration. So that attraction is there, very difficult to overcome. Very strong, that is the basis of material existence. So, that attraction is already there, but when a man and a woman unite in sex life, then it becomes like a very strong, strong knot on the heart. The man becomes attached to the woman becomes very deeply attached to the man. We see divorce. People get divorced, but they're always feeling some attachment for the other partner. They can never stop thinking. They always feel hurt, because that strong emotional attachment is there. Therefore, divorce is not allowed in Vedic culture. Sannyas, taking sannyas, that is allowed. That is recommended. But divorce, just whimsical. Oh, I don't like you, alright, get out the door. I'll bring in someone else. That is not allowed. Everything should be done in a regulated way. So that attachment is very strong. Ato griha kshetra sutakta vitari janasya mohoya mahammameji. Because of attachment, man and woman, then they think, let us get a place to stay, a nice little home, nice jopapati, or whether it's slum or a big. Even in Bombay you see the rich people, they live in a little hole, just like in English they call this a pigeon hole. The pigeons, they live in a small, just like you see, actually in the temple, general manager, there should be no birdmen. You see the birds, they live in a small hole. So even the rich people in Bombay, it's very prestigious if they can get a little pigeon hole on the 15th floor, and even if you go in the bathroom, you can't even turn around. You can hardly walk inside it. It's so small. And this is the rich people. And the poor people, they live on the sewage. They build a house in the sewage, and to get a place there also, you have to fight and pay the sheep, seina, and this and that. So, one becomes attached. I have to have a place to live. Our own home. Kshetra, our own place to live. Griha, kshetra, this is our place. Land, griha, kshetra. Suta, sons and daughters. Money, friends, relatives. Suta, mita, ramani, samaji, is Prabhupada used to call. One is very happy in family life, society, friendship and love. So this is the basic principle of material existence. Whether it's in bird life, or worm life, or human life, or demigod life, material existence is running on this attraction between male and female. Therefore, the Vedic literatures very strongly emphasize that if you at all want to be free from the grinding miseries of material life, then accept sannyas. Take sannyas. This Prabhupada, of course, he was also very much in this mood. Any acharya, they want to see their disciples give up all this nonsense. Some they may engage in family life, just like I know at least one case. One devotee came to Prabhupada asking, please give me sannyas. Prabhupada told him, no, get married. But other times, Prabhupada would just, you take sannyas, you just tell. Now you should take sannyas. He wanted to see, because sannyas means that vow by which no going back, no turning back. Harim, Ashraya. You give up the family life. Go to the forest. And there, take full shelter of Hari, the Supreme Personality of God. That is the real meaning of accepting sannyas, as Prabhupada is stating here. One should, one must ultimately accept sannyas, the renounced order, for only by the renounced order can one be situated in Brahma Sukha, transcendental bliss. So that is the motto of the sannyasis, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave this verse, he was chanting after he took sannyas, and all the Vaishnava sannyasis, they also chant this verse. This is the verse of the Avanti Brahmana. Jai Shri Gaurutai Nathara Sri Hari Sita Ram. The Avanti Brahmana. The Avanti Brahmana, he was a miserable attached householder. Miserable means his whole attitude towards life was miserable. He used to make others miserable by cheating them. And he was a very mean, nasty kind of person. So in the end, by the arrangement of fate, he lost all his money. And then anyway, no one liked him. And when he didn't have any money, they had no reason to like him at all. So then they were just mean and nasty to him. And somewhere in his heart, there was a little trace of Hari Bhakti from previous life. So then he thought, what is the use of living here in this home? No one likes me, and I don't like anybody. Let me give it up. So then he chanted this verse, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also used to chant after taking sannyas. Itam sasthaya paratma visham adhyasitam purvatamayatmahadhi aham tarishyami virantaparam tamomukandamdhi nishirvayaiva. Stating that, now I've taken sannyas, now I'm going to follow the path followed by great sannyasis before me who are fixed up, paratma nishtha, fixed up in following, in love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way I've taken the vow to cross over this materialistic life, that never, now I'm going to act in such a way that I will never come back to this material world. That is the meaning of taking sannyas. That one acts in such a way that he doesn't get entangled in material life. So what is that entanglement? Again, the same point. Entanglement means that begins yan maitun adi grihamedi sukham itucham. That entanglement means it begins with sex life, the attraction towards family life. That tucham, completely insignificant. What is that pleasure? Maitun adi sukham itucham. That happiness is simply insignificant. What is the happiness? Kanduryane na karayo, just like scratching with your hand. You feel itching? Scratch. That is the pleasure. That is the version of Taladmana. That sex life, that pleasure, is just like the pleasure when you have an itch and you scratch it. And for that, people are building big empires, working hard, getting PhDs, going to the factory. Insignificant. But the nature of Maya is that it bewilders the conditioned soul and we feel attracted to that which is not in our own self-interest. Therefore, one who has taken sannyas you should be extremely careful not to be entangled again in this materialistic life which begins with sexual attraction. Now, taking sannyas is one thing, and being a perfectly realized soul is something else. As Prabhupada writes that taking sannyas is preparation for the Paramahamsa stage of life. In other words, it's not that simply by sitting in a ceremony one becomes automatically free from all material desires. That is a mistake sometimes people take. They think, all right, let me take sannyas. This will solve all my problems. My mind is disturbed and I'll just take sannyas. But unless we have a very deep determination to overcome all material desires, if it's not very deep, then the stick will be shaking. It will be dangerous. Therefore, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, one should at least be sufficiently enabled to control his involvement in sex life. That means, not simply by taking sannyas, that one automatically becomes free from all material desires. But he should be able to, sufficiently competent to control those desires. So how to control? Therefore, this whole section is describing that, just like if you have ghee, in the cold season you see ghee, it becomes hard. Or if you keep coconut oil, people use for putting on their head, it becomes solid. So if you want to melt it for putting on your head, what do people do in the village? They take their bath in the river, or the well, or the pond, so they put the coconut oil, before they take bath, they put it in the sun. It heats up. So, if you don't want the ghee to melt, then you keep it out of the sun. You keep it out of the heat. It's a very simple thing. So the same way that example is given, that woman is like fire and man is like pot of ghee. So if you put the ghee in the fire, what will happen? It will melt. So in the same way, if man associates with woman, then attraction will be there. Therefore, sannyasis should be extremely strict in associating with women. Actually, the whole Vedic culture, not only sannyasis, even grihasthas, is very, very strict in associating with women. Strict means they don't associate. Practically, they don't. Even in the family life, there would be separate in the house. The house is built in such a way, there's the man's place to live and the woman's place to live. And the women, they stay in their place, and the men, they stay in their place. And the man, may be out working in the field or whatever he's doing, and the women stay at home, and they do family jobs like cooking, cleaning, and all this stuff, looking after children. And they come out to serve the men, give them their prasad. And even husband, wife, when they're first married, they don't even live together. They're very, very strict. And they don't joke, husband and wife don't joke in front of elders. They're very, very strict. Then what to speak of sannyasis? They're not supposed to associate at all. Association should be zero. That is the strict Vedic standard. Of course, in the modern age, these strict rules of Varnashram, no one is following, no one can follow. Even Srila Prabhupada said that at one time. Some sannyasis in our movement were very critical of the grihasthas being too much in the mood of enjoying this material world. So Prabhupada, to counter their overly critical mood, said that in the modern age, no one can follow all the rules and regulations properly in any varna or any ashram. I'm not doing it, Prabhupada said. I can't do it and nor can you. However, that doesn't mean that one should not follow rules and regulations. One should see the situation as much as possible he should follow. There's also another instance in which there was a story of Mira approaching Jiva Goswami, and as the folk story goes, how it's been handed down, it said that Jiva Goswami refused to see her because she was a woman. And Prabhupada said, no, that can't be true, because a Gauriya Vaishnava sannyasi would not refuse to see a woman. So in other words, Our sannyasis, Prabhupada didn't stress that you don't look at women, anything like that. Not look, of course you should look, but not that you, just like the Jains, they cover their mouth so they won't breathe in a fly. So we're not recommending that you cover your eyes so that you don't see, because the whole world is now, previously, even now in Muslim countries, you hardly see women on the streets. Previously in India it was like that also. They didn't go outside. I was told that among the Muslims, they used to have a saying, they used to imagine that the Brahmin women must be extremely beautiful. They had some imagination because they never saw them. They had no opportunity to see them. So in their imagination they thought they must be, anyway they may be very beautiful because higher caste, or anyway that's not our subject of discussion. So you didn't see. They weren't seen. But the modern age is different. Everywhere. There's no such thing now that women won't go outside their house. All of them are going to jobs, and even young boys and young girls, which 20 years ago in India, if a young girl unmarried, anyway she wouldn't have the opportunity to do so. But somehow if she did, if she spoke to an unknown or any boy on the street, then he'd be severely chastised and punished. Can you imagine? Nowadays, you see, they're laughing and joking on the streets and in public. So times have changed so much. Going on their motorbikes with their hair like this. 20 years ago here, you can't imagine. But times have changed, and our sannyas, Prabhupada, he told that sannyas, we're giving sannyas mostly for preaching. He said if a sannyasi doesn't increase his preaching, then there's no use, there's no reason for him to take sannyas. Sannyas he should take only, sannyas means he gets some facility, he gets respect, so he's supposed to utilize that for preaching. So, preaching means you have to go out among people, and people means there are two sexes, male and female, and people means there are so many people and so many spirit souls in women's bodies also. So we're not going to say don't go among women, although don't be alone. That is a very strict principle which every sannyasi has to follow. Every man, no man should be, not only sannyasi, no man should ever be alone with any woman unless it's his wife or his mother also. Or it may be some unusual case, some elderly woman may be cooking in the kitchen, something like this. But the general rule is there, very strict. Especially sannyasi should not be alone with a woman. That Prabhupada told that story. When his godbrother, Obiyal Kapoor, was a young man, his young wife was there. She was also initiated by Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur. So she asked, because she's his disciple, that I want to speak with you something privately alone. At this time, Saraswati Thakur was old enough to be her grandfather. And he was a renowned sannyasi, very strict, Naishtik Brahmachari. He had such a reputation. And in those days anyway, people, they wouldn't, they're not like nowadays where everyone would. That, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, sannyasiyara aupachidra sarvaloke gai. Any discrepancy by a sannyasi, they'll get a megaphone and announce it everywhere. Oh, Maharaj was 3.5 seconds late for Mangalati. Put it in the Indian Express. We should announce it everywhere. So, those days people were not so much critical, but still, Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur, to uphold the principle, no one would have suspected him of any foul dealing. But just so that no, if he did something wrong, then others may take advantage. Oh, our guru, he also was alone with women, so I shall also. I'm also as transcendental as he. Actually, even if nothing will happen, still, sannyasi should not be alone with women, because then someone will criticize. The opportunity is there to say, oh, just see. They'll criticize. So Saraswati Thakur, he refused. He said, I cannot see you alone. Even his grandfather's age, such a reputation, and there's no question of him falling down anyway. And the young girl was his disciple. Stop, he refused. So this is very strict. The sannyasi should be very, very strict in his dealings with women. As the saying is that Caesar's wife should be above suspicion. In other words, one who is in a respectable position, he should act in such a way that there will be no, there's not even room to suspect his character, let alone acting in such a way that he falls below the dignity of his position. Caesar's wife should be above suspicion. Just like that. Sannyasi shouldn't be alone in a room with a woman, because suspicion will come. Suspicion may come. Should be above suspicion. There should be no room for suspicion. He should be so strict in his activities and behavior that no one can even suspect that such a thing would happen. And even if someone levels an accusation that his behavior is so exemplary that no one will believe it even. That's strictness should be required. So, how to adjust all these rules and regulations? Now, no one can follow these all rules and regulations. Brahmachari so strict, sannyasi so strict. But still, the principle we should understand, the basic principle, human life is meant for understanding God. Understanding God is possible when one becomes detached from material life. Detachment means detachment. Principle attachment, then we have to understand this towards sex life. So we should act. The whole Varnashram system is designed to train us to act in such a way that we can get free from sex life. So for that purpose, one should accept sannyas. One should not remain choked up in hole with material desires for all his life. He should accept sannyas. But he should accept sannyas means not whimsically. One time I heard someone, he was on the sannyas list, and he said, well, I might as well try it and see. Not like that. He tried it, and he failed. Because if you try and see, if you say, I try, then just like someone's coming out, there's a whole army, and he has a catapult. Oh, I'll try and see if I can fight with him. No question. You're going to fail. If you're going to fight, you have to fight in such a way you know you're going to be successful. So at least you should fight, you should have all your forces, you should be ready to fight. Not that you come out with a catapult to fight the Russian army. Then you're going to fight. So, you're going to fight means you have to be prepared. And we know anyone who is serious to succeed, he can succeed because he has Krishna on his side. Just like the Pandavas, how could they succeed? The whole Kaurava army was much more powerful, and even any one fighter, like Bhishma, or Drona, or even Ashwatthama, any one of them was sufficient to fight with all the demigods and the whole three worlds. So how can Arjuna, who was quite powerful, and nowadays any one Arjuna, just looking, he practically doesn't even need his Gandhi, he can destroy the whole world by himself. But in comparison with Drona, Bhishma, he was not a very great fighter. And their army was small. But, Jayatam Pandu Putranam Yasmin Pakshe Janardana. Victory for the Pandavas was certain because Krishna was on their side. So one who takes sannyas, he takes Paratmanisham. He is confident that I have Krishna with me. Therefore, in this very difficult material life, which is very difficult to conquer, I must be successful because Krishna is with me. One who has got that faith and who is prepared to act on that faith by following all the principles of sannyas life very strictly, then he should take sannyas, he must take sannyas. Otherwise, if one is not prepared, if one is still thinking, just like a sannyasi, he may go to a rich man's house on invitation for preaching. And if he thinks, oh, what did I do? I should have also enjoyed so nicely. If he enters someone's home and he thinks, this is very nice, instead of thinking, this is a vulnerable entanglement, these people are suffering. I have come here, I have to speak on behalf of Krishna to help to enlighten these people. If he's thinking like that, then he should take sannyas. If he's thinking, oh, I should have also enjoyed. If he's still thinking there's any enjoyment there, then he shouldn't take sannyas. These are some guidelines for the renounced order of life. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Maharaj, any comment? Actually, one other thing I should say, important point, often, you see, it's like that. Sannyasi is very much criticized if he does something a little bit wrong. Which is not surprising, because he takes a very high position, he has to take a high position to instruct others. Someone has to lead others in spiritual life. And as in every sphere of activity, leadership is required. And leadership means leaders have to be respected. So sannyasi takes such a position that not only respected, sannyasi is supposed to be worshipped by all the others. So if he betrays that position or doesn't act properly, then people tend to be very critical. But it is worthy to note that not only is sannyas very exalted position that should not be misused, but to take the dress of a Vaishnava, to take Brahmin initiation, to take a spiritual name, such as Narad Rishi Das, Haribol, to take any such position, that is a very exalted position. So, it's not that, oh, sannyasi shouldn't fall down, but I'm a grihastha so I can do whatever I like, and anyway, I was initiated, but I'm a grihastha, so it doesn't matter if I don't follow very strictly. No, anyone who takes initiation, anyone who wears this color, or anyone who dresses as a Vaishnava, for any person who has taken such a position to not follow the principles is jhaganya, horrible, abominable. So everyone who is taken to spiritual life, Vaishnav cult, Vaishnav principles, they should be very, very serious about what they're doing. Not that I'm putting on tilak and, well, tomorrow we'll see. No. Now, one who comes to Krishna consciousness, he should go forward, no going back. Or even if by the force of Maya, one is pushed back, just like we read Indra when he was fighting with Vritra. Vritra was so powerful that his weapon made the Airavata. Airavata, he was charging forward, but he was hit so strongly by the weapon of Vritrasura that he automatically went back. But then he recovered and he went forward again. So Maya is so powerful, even we may go a little bit back, but we come forward again. But if we willingly turn around and go back, that is abominable. We have to go forward only in spiritual life. I can't hear anything because of this stupid brass band they have out here. Why don't you come here? Come and follow me. We have to speak loudly.
Yes. You said there is, we have to look for renounce sort of life, we have to follow. So we, when we joined this movement, we thought that we will renounce and we will do some bhakti. But sometimes we are engaged in some services, all day we are busy, we cannot attend the programs.
Well, service to Krishna, that's also bhakti. It's not outside of bhakti. But certainly the hearing and chanting is the basis of devotional life. And if we don't do hearing and chanting regularly, sufficiently, then we may forget why we are doing what we are doing. So if you're overloaded with service on a regular basis, that you don't have time to hear and chant, if that's actually the case, of course, many times I see devotees tell me I have too much service. But then you see they have time to hear and chant, but they don't. They stand around and talk all rubbish or they sleep too much. But if it is actually the case, then you should see your spiritual authorities to adjust your life so that you do have sufficient time to hear and chant. No. Which statement? I make so many statements. Oh. So, what's the last thing you said? Yes, Narada-rishi Prabhu is making the point that it's accepted that sannyas is the highest order of life, but within our society, because there have been several examples of sannyasis who have not kept to their vows, therefore the faith has become shaky. That's the point. Alright, so the point is made, but that doesn't mean that therefore the whole thing should be abandoned. Yeah. The faith may be shaky means that Prabhupada himself in the last phase of his manifest presence in the GBC now is also very strict about giving sannyas. So, as Prabhupada writes in Gita purport, there may be an accident even on the royal road. So then we should help sannyasis if we see there's any, if we see there's any difference. Of course it may not be your position as sannyasi, but others, if it's seen that someone in the sannyasa order of life is going through a difficult period, then something should be said. That applies to all devotees. If we see any devotee having some difficulty, then he should be helped, not condemned. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki.